Shalom, everyone. Wow. It looks like the feast has begun already. You may be seated. I like all these orange flags that I see waving. You may have seen the orange signs. That's the word of Yahweh that's imprisoned and is trying to get out. Some articles here showing that the Baal world is coming down. Dangerous crossroads. Russia needs a minimum of 50 nuclear submarines to counter U.S. NATO. Russian Navy ideally needs. Now, you know they're having talks to cut the use of nuclear weapons, cut their stockpiles. That means that the ones that won't reach the United States will be discarded, I'm sure, and the ones that won't reach Russia from the United States is going to be discarded. The Russian Navy ideally needs to have at least 50 nuclear-powered submarines. 50. A high-ranking Navy officer said during an interview with Echo Moscow radio station Saturday. The Russian Navy has some 60 strategic multifunctional and diesel-powered submarines already. The number of nuclear submarines in Russian Navy should be at least 40 to 50, he said, to meet up with what the United States has got to at least kill as many Americans as they kill Russians. That makes a lot of sense, don't it? He said the French, Britain, and the United States have at least 9 combat-ready nuclear subs at sea at all times now. In order to counterbalance them, we need 2 or 3 nuclear-powered submarines. They need to know that we are prepared. They are prepared for war. And then we have North Korea vowing nuclear strikes. This all looks very peaceful right now. North Korea wants to nuke the United States, so why is China lending a hand? Wow. China, remember, China is one of the nations now that Malachi Martin mentioned in the book, The Keys of This Blood, also in his interviews, as Mary was going to make war against China. That was one of the nations that he mentioned. He says PAC's currency move was so disastrous that there are now reports of starvation. Now, this is a leader now in China. Reports of starvation and deaths, even in a relatively prosperous area bordering China, and stories of malnutrition. Beggars in the capital city. In January, a factory worker faced a firing squad for talking about the price of rice on a cell phone. So according to the news, they're saying that they know that the United States has brought the economy down. And of course, if you remember the prophecies, which I hope to cover at least some of them during the feast. The prophecies of the quartet, you know that it's prophesied that they would do this. India tests fires 2 nuclear-capable missiles. 2 nuclear-capable. This was brought out on press TV. The Navy battle between United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia raises fears of Gulf security. The United Arab Emirates Navy is thought to have opened fire on a small patrol vessel from Saudi Arabia after a dispute over water boundaries. Well, now they're fighting over the boundaries. The clash happened in disputed waters between the coast of Saudi Arabia, Abu, and the peninsula on which the gas-rich state of Qatar sits. The seabed is rich with oil deposits, with Dolphin Pipeline Project to carry natural gas direct from Qatar to Abu, has provoked irritation in the Saudi authorities. Nevertheless, direct conflict between the two countries' armed forces is highly unusual. The Gulf is one of the most heavily armed regions in the world. This Gulf, right close to, the Great River Euphrates. But now the UAE, despite its small size, is the fourth largest purchaser of weaponry in the international market in the world. Saudi Arabia is the world's largest oil producer. So hurt not the oil, and we're going to protect the oil. This one in the New York Times shows what we've been bringing out about the Vatican, and of course they're all trying to deny their secret religion, but I think they're going to probably admit it pretty soon. They're probably waiting to see how much support they have before they make it known. This has been a secret religion for thousands of years, and that's what it's called. They call themselves holy. The New York Times reports another abuse scandal. Vatican responds. They're saying there's a smear tactic against the Vatican, and there is. It's been going on by the priest for several years. And look how holy he looks. And the Savior said this. He said, they pretend to be holy. It's a bunch of hypocrisy, he said. The foreclosures, I know you noticed that this week on the news. I want to get into the sermon, but keep these in mind because it shows what we're fighting and, of course, what the Savior said we would be fighting in this time period. If you remember the sermon 2 weeks ago, turn over to Luke 12. We were talking about deception and how, what makes a person fall away from Yahweh's work. What's coming out now, of course, about the Vatican, the Savior, he spoke of this and says it's going to be revealed in this time period, of course, by his branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches, he said. And if you've been keeping up with these prophecies, starting in Genesis, written by Moshe, and of course, even before that, Abel wrote about this last work before Moshe did. Abel wrote about the last work and gave the laws before he was killed, of course. But the subject was deception. And why the people fall away from Yahweh's house and salvation? Because when they leave the house, they leave salvation. There's no salvation anyplace else except Yahweh's house. And why did they leave Moshe? Why did they leave Samuel? Why did they leave Yahshua? Why are they leaving me, the last day's witness? Why? There's no place to go. As the apostle said, if you want salvation. If it's ego they're hunting, that's soon going to end. You build yourself up, you got a terrible letdown coming. If you don't let Yahweh build you up, you will fall. Everything that is not of Yahweh will be destroyed. And Yahweh plainly says that over and over throughout the Holy Scriptures. But they are leaving, and it's because of deception. Yahweh said there'd be a great falling away and said two out of three. The Savior said two out of three will fall away. Well, a fall away is not going to have salvation. They're cutting themselves off from Yahweh. They're dying from the spiritual food that's put out at the house. And you can die quicker when you cut yourself off from the knowledge that Yahweh has given you here at his house than you could by cutting yourself off from food itself. Luke 12, 1 and 2, it says, in the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trample one another, he began to speak to his disciples. That's Yahshua began to speak to his disciples and said, beware of the sin of the Pharisees. Beware of the sins of the Pharisees. And which is hypocrisy. They're hypocrites. They practice making righteous stands and making little movements that looks holy. And you need to keep in mind the only thing holy is Yahweh's laws. The thing's righteous is Yahweh's laws. it's not standing like this. It's not sprinkling incense here and there. That's not righteousness. And in fact, Yahweh says he doesn't even require that of us at this time. Of course, people who don't know the prophecies, they are fooled with these things. But Yahweh has a work, and he says sacrifices is not required of us at this time. That was a prophecy given for us. Sacrificing, the burning of incense, is not required of us. Now, if you miss that great food, and if it doesn't sink into your head up here, somebody's liable to tell you, hey, we need to start slinging this incense around. If they would even study as how that was done, and what the people that did this, how they had to be prepared, how they had to prepare themselves to come and even handle these vessels. You know, if you picked up one of those holy vessels and your mind is full of hypocrisy, you would be immediately wiped out. And this was done in the scriptures. But of course, we're not equipped to do it. Yahweh didn't equip his house in these last days to follow these laws, and they are laws. We uphold these laws, and one day these laws are going to be practiced again here on earth, but not at this time. In fact, they won't be till Yahshua's coming. A lot of these laws won't. But I'm not going to cover that today. I will cover it. I'm going to bring all the foolishness out that's being taught. And if you fall into this, you're doing it against my word. I'm telling you, don't fall into these traps. You know, you leave me, you're leaving salvation. And I'm not boasting. I'm telling you what the prophecy says. Praise Yahweh. But anyway, the Savior here, he says it's hypocrisy. It means nothing. The people that were offering these things in the sanctuary at that time, at the time of Yahshua, is the same ones that's offering them in the Vatican today. They're the children of their fathers, which by force took over the temple. And I've brought this out and proved it, and there's thousands of more proofs for you that's coming. But they forcefully took over the temple, as Yahshua said, by force. They left Samuel, and their children were taught. They were sincere people, brethren. They didn't go out thinking that this is an evil thing we're doing when they turned to sodomy. They thought it was a righteous thing, and they still think it's a righteous thing, but they think that the secret religion must be hidden from the public. It's something that they have to hide and not let the people know. So they called themselves separatist at the time of Yahshua. That's Pharisee. It means separatist, or one who separates himself from the people. Yahshua didn't separate himself, did he? I never saw any place where he separated himself except for prayer and fasting. And he was a worker. He says, come on and let's get involved in this work. Let's do the work. Hurry, hurry. That's between the lines there. It's that hurry, you know, it's work here and there, but in between says hurry. hurry. But in Genesis 2:9, oh, let's finish this, hypocrisy. Verse 2, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed. Well, who's supposed to reveal this? It's the house of Yahweh in the last days, the workers that he's saying, hurry and get this work done so the kingdom can come. Neither hidden that shall not be known. Well, of course, we are, Yahweh says, let them foretell them. Let them, y'all remember that scripture? You remember it? Anybody? Come on. Wake up now. Let them foretell them. Let's go over to Genesis now. Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 9, because here Yahweh shows that he himself put two trees here, and he says, make your choice. Now, of course, the group that Yahweh said profaneness would come from, they didn't just have one group. They were separated in among themselves, so they divided. And of course, a kingdom that divided against itself, it won't stand, Yahweh said. That's the reason he's got to have total unity. And if you leave the unity and don't believe the one sent, and that's the way Yahweh Yeshua said that you can stand in his house if you will believe the one sent. And of course, this is the work of Yahweh if you believe into the one sent. That is into being a part of the work that he's doing with that person. Well, here in verse 9, he shows these, chapter 2 of Genesis in verse 9, he shows those two trees for the purpose of proving the people, of course. Now, Noah, of course, Abel was killed, and then, of course, the world turned to wickedness. And then Noah, of course, he did a great work, and for about 135 years he worked preaching, telling the people what was going to take place, and of course what he was preaching took place. And from those two trees now, one of them took profaneness to the world, the other one took righteousness in the form of laws and books. And of course, the ones that Yahweh would call, he would give this information. And then when the work that was prophesied to be done, when it was brought about by the prophets that he prophesied would come and do this work, then Yahweh would inform, and those that he wanted to pull out of that time period to do the work, he did. And in this last time period, he has pulled you out of the world. And of course, you are now doing this work that he says is going to come forth speedily. Let's go over to Amosha, because Amosha tells us here in chapter 3, he says, most assuredly, Father Yahweh will have no work other than the work that was prophesied. Of course, the ark that was prophesied to save the animals and, of course, a certain amount of people. And on that same ark, you know, inside the ark, Noah preserved the laws of Yahweh. And after the ark settled, of course, those laws were found there in Abilene. This is Amosha 3 and verse 7. He's not going to have any work unless it's prophesied by the prophets in advance. The prophets in advance. And then turn over to Luke. I realize we've got a lot of people here that are new today, I guess for the first time, and welcome home, by the way. Bring your Book of Yahweh. We haven't got all the signs up yet down Oak Forest, but there's some signs that goes in between those three signs that says, bring your Book of Yahweh or your Bible. And Luke 24 and verse 25, the Savior is speaking here. Now, and he tells you, you've got to believe the prophets. First off, in Amosha, he says, I'm not going to have any work unless the prophets have foretold it. And then Yeshua said, believe the prophets. If you'll believe the prophets, you can't go wrong. The prophets are the ones that tell you what is going to go on in a certain time period. In a certain time period. How the work will be conducted, what's going to take place in that time period. And if you don't follow that work or the one sent, then you won't be part of the work. You won't believe. Believe into the one sent. And if you do this, as Yeshua said, then you will be a part of that work and you'll be part of the kingdom. You will approve to yourself as being in unity with Yahweh. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All that the prophets have spoken. Well, look on over now to Yochanan, the sixth chapter, Yochanan 6, and let's go to verse 29. Yochanan 6 and verse 29. He says, Yeshua answered and said unto them, this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into. We put in, we made a lot of mistakes in here, but not nearly as many as the King James did. But the word is actually into, and it means to trust in. You know, maybe you could look that up, that word believe, or maybe I need to bring some more information on it. That's probably what I need to do. I could preach several sermons on that word believe there. But you do need to understand what that word believe is. Not just sit here and believe that you see me. It's believing that Yahweh sent me for a purpose of bringing forth a work in these last days. Well, this is the work, praise Yahweh, and this is the work of Yahweh, that you believe into him. Now, if you believe into me, then you will be joining me in this work, and you will be part of it in unity. Whom he sent. Well, of course, how do you know that Yahweh sent Yeshua? Of course, I'll be bringing out a lot of prophecies on this. Monday night, Yahshua's memorial. But Yahweh prophesied, starting in Genesis, he started prophesying about his last day's work. And Abel spoke of it. Abel believed in it. Abel brought a lamb offering in belief of Yeshua, who was to come. And he knew that Yeshua was going to come. In Moshe's writing, I know people overlook these tiny things, but in Moshe's writing, he used odd words. And of course, the King James Version translated them all the same. But if you just prove all things we're doing, we still have men that are working, thousands of hours a year on this research. And to straighten out all the mistakes that's been made for 6,000 years, and much of that's going to be brought out at this feast. I don't know if I think sometimes that I'll just turn the services over to David Yehuda and just let him read them off, because it's so many of them. I know he won't be able to cover them in one day, that's for sure. But anyway, he says, you've got to believe in the one sent. Believe into it. And of course, if you get yourself involved in this work, then that will take up your time and you won't have any time for the deception that seems to come just before the Passover every year, because they hate what we're doing. Satan hates what we're doing here. But believe into the one sent. Well, if you turn back, look back to chapter 3 here now. Remember, you're a fool if you don't believe into the one sent, because you're not believing the prophecies. Well, here in verse chapter 3 and verse 34, 3 and verse 34, he says, "For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh." That's the law and the prophets. "For Yahweh does not give his spirit sparingly." You notice, please notice what he's saying there to you. Now, if you just want to be deceived and you got your anger built up and you won't hear my words, as Yahshua said, you know why you can't hear my words? Well, of course, they were hearing his words, but their mind was boggled already because they already had their mind made up due to the deception that sodomy is the thing they should be following instead of the laws of Yahweh. So they changed everything about Yahweh's laws, and they've started practicing hypocrisy, a show in the public. But what goes on behind closed doors is now being revealed about this group that started in Samuel, before Samuel. In fact, Yahweh said, they've always been this way. I brought them out of Israel, and they were this way when I brought them out of Israel. That's what he told Samuel. And then, of course, they didn't change. They got power over among the nations, and they started separating, taking over the nations, become a multitude of nations in the world. And of course, they have much power today, but now they're being exposed for what they are. But he says, again, now read this again. Get it in your mind. "For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh." So we can know that the one prophesied, as Yahshua was prophesied, he was prophesied to come and speak the words of Yahweh. And he said this over and over to the people. He said, "I don't do my own will. I'm bringing forth exactly what Yahweh told me to bring." Well, where did he find what Yahweh told him to bring? Of course, it was taught to him in the prophecies. And he was absorbed with these prophecies that was written by the prophets whom the fathers of Israel murdered. And this is what he said, "You've murdered the prophets." "Which one of the prophets have you not persecuted and killed?" he said. And of course, the disciples the same way. And of course, we'll be getting into that deeper too, because the disciples carried the same message that I'm carrying, and they carried it to Rome, and most of them were killed in Rome. Well, "For he whom Yahweh has sent," you'll get a Fox's Book of Martyrs if you want to see where they were killed. They have records of this, of where 11 of the 12 disciples was killed. "For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh." He whom Yahweh has sent through prophecy. He won't send anybody unless it's revealed in prophecy. Remember that? Amos. "So he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh." Now, if you don't believe in the one sent, you won't believe what the Savior is saying here. And there's no way I can help you unless you repent and are converted. "For Yahweh does not give his spirit sparingly." What is he speaking of here? He does not give his spirit sparingly. Keep that in mind now, and let's go over to Yochanan, still Yahshua. Yahshua speaking. Let's go over to Yochanan 6. And remember, Yahshua was suffering opposition. He had multitudes that came to see what he was teaching. He had multitudes that believed in him. He had control over the enzymes of the earth. He could make bread he had enzymes making bread for him, loaves of bread. And making fish. Like Yahweh used the enzymes to form the human body, Yahshua was given that power. And he actually had this taking place. And he did it in front of his disciples, But of course, they didn't believe. You know, they were like so many today that they had so much things in their mind that was brought back from Christianity that they couldn't stay out or away from Christianity. They did believe after so long a time, but it took him years. It took Yeshua years before he actually got his disciples to believe enough to die for him. You remember the apostle Shaul, he made this statement. He said, people want to boast in your flesh. That is, they want to try to convert you. And they even pretend, he said, to bring forth the laws of righteousness so they can boast in your conversion to them. But he said, not to the point to where they are persecuted and killed for their teaching. You know, they'd only go to a certain extent, and then when the persecution come, they would flee the other way. The apostle Shaul was ready to face what Yahweh wanted him to face. You get that? They were not ready to face this. And this is what the apostle Shaul was saying. He said, I'm ready for whatever Yahweh has in store for me. But he said, these that want to boast in your flesh and bringing you to their conversion, but not to the point to where they're willing to fight the Yadim, and it was the Yadim they were fighting against in Rome, and where he was under arrest, and where he wrote several books that was saved for us today before he was killed. Well, here now in Yochanan, remember, they were leaving Yeshua. People were coming, being taught what he was teaching them, which was he was the Savior. He was keeping the Sabbath correctly. We've got to follow the laws and the prophecies, he said. He was setting us a perfect example of how to live. And he said, and full of mercy, full of joy, the joy that he and his disciples, you could tell from the acts, from the works and the writing, that they were joyous. The only times that the joy was escaped them was when the world came in on them and disrupted the joy that they had together and the unity they had together. Well, here in chapter 6 now, notice, start here with verse 63. He says, the Spirit that gives life. It is the Spirit that gives life. Notice now, he's speaking of the Spirit. And remember, he said, Yahweh doesn't give the Spirit sparingly to the ones he has sent. It's the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The laws that I speak to you, they are Spirit and they are life. The laws that I speak, they are Spirit and they are life. Now look back to chapter 5. Chapter 5, and notice verse 21. Let's start with verse 21. Chapter 5 and verse 21. He says, now this is the Savior, and this is the power this man is given because he was the Son of Man, and because he was actually bred and raised for this job, born without sin, lived without sin, and of course was willing to die a horrible death for us and for the whole world. Verse 21, he says, for as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life, so also the Son offers life to those whom Yahweh wills. So, for verse 22, for the Father does not judge any man, but he committed all judgment to the Son. So now if you get this in your mind, you're going to know that Yeshua is your judge right now. And he's saying you've got to believe in the one sent. That's Yeshua saying this to you. And if you do this, you won't be deceived. I have your answers. it's more important right now that I get you to believe, and I will cover all your questions, every one of them. Yahweh has not held back his spirit of knowledge and understanding from me. I know falsehood when I see it. I know the truth when I see it. I'm not going to argue with anyone. You know, this is stupid to say, well, this word here or this word here, and sit there and argue back and forth. All they're doing is building up the resistance to the word of Yahweh or the one sent. I won't take part in that. It's stupid. I will bring you all the answers to all your questions, and I'll bring it in an orderly fashion where you will understand what I understand. And if you will believe the one sent as your Savior, your judge, tells you to do, then you will know that he has not spared giving me his Holy Spirit. Praise Yahweh. Now, verse 23, he says, so that all men, now he's given him judgment. Notice, for the Father does not judge any man, but has committed all judgment to our high priest right now, so that all men may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. So who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who has sent him. Now here again, remember the scripture, you've got to believe into the one sent. Truly, verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my words. And this word hear is to put them, it means more than just to hear the word coming out of my mouth. It means you've got to trust in that word, put it to work in your life. That's what the bottom meaning of it. Believing, and that's what believing means too. There's a much to this word, the Greek word and the Hebrew word that goes with this concerning believing. Believing into means putting your trust and following the teachings of that person. Believing Yahweh who sent me has everlasting life. Now, if you don't have everlasting life. Because you won't be a part of the unity, you'll be a part of the hypocrisy that's going on in the Vatican right now. That's how they started too. They started separating themselves from Samuel. Before that, they separated themselves from Moshe. And they said, we're righteous, we're saints, we're prophets, we're priests. You know, we're holy saints. And of course, Yahweh showed in his works and writings who he had sent. But they separated from them, and they truly believe today, although they're hiding their religion and doing all kinds of evil things behind closed doors, they believe what they're doing is holy. In fact, they call it holy, kadosh. That's what they call it. They've used a holy word, and they've put it on a practice of sodomy. That's what sodomy means. That word means kadosh. And they say they've got to do this. Now, pretty soon, I believe, Yahweh says we're revealing it. And I'm thinking, as many people, there are thousands and thousands of people from all the places where the orphanages that are located, that the government pays the Catholic Church to run the orphanages. And they use these children. Well, the children come forth now. They're coming forth by the thousands. Grown-up children now, of course, grown-up people saying, no, this went on every night with me. It went on every night. They used me every night. The priest did. The priest. Yes, they believe this is holiness. If you look at some of the pictures of the Queen of Heaven and read what she was. She taught this to be holy. Look at her pictures. Her mother should have taught her to dress, but she didn't. And she should have taught her some holiness too, but she didn't. Believing Yahweh who sent me has everlasting life, saying they don't have everlasting life if they don't, and will not come under condemnation, but they will come under condemnation if they don't believe, but has passed from death to life. Yeshua says they'll be picked out of the kingdom and saying, how did you get in here without this holy garment? It starts with believing the word of the prophets. Truly, truly, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear my voice, voice of the Son of Yahweh, and those who hear will live. For just as the Father has life in himself, so he has given to the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. The Son of Man, not a Son of God, but the Son of Man, promised to him by the authorities, by the authority of Genesis, the first chapter in verse 26. That prophecy, prophesying about the Savior, who was to get this first, he'll be the firstborn of many, firstborn of many. He's the firstborn of the Son of Man into the family of Yahweh. Begotten on a certain day when he was with Yochanan and was baptized, begotten on that day by Yahweh, and then born into the and sits at the right hand of Yahweh right now in heaven as our judge and high priest. Praise Yahweh. Now in verse 28, do not be astonished at this. Some were astonished at it. Some were saying he was boasting, you know. And is not his brothers here with us, the Pharisees? Look at him, how he's picking himself up. Where is his brothers and sisters? Well, they're over here with us. This quack over here thinks he's really something. This is the talk that was going on behind his back, as it did behind the backs of all the prophets. But he was the one sent. And he now has authority, and there's nothing else in the whole plan of salvation that says otherwise. Do not be astonished at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and will come forth those who have practiced righteousness, believing into the work and keeping the laws of Yahweh is righteousness. Will be resurrected in order to live, and those who have practiced wickedness, which is disbelief, the fearful and unbelieving, he said in Revelations, will have their part in the lake of fire. Start believing in the one sent. You must, or you won't have salvation. Praise Yahweh. Resurrecting, that those who practice wickedness will be resurrected in order to be damned. Now, here, you know, Yeshua was saying you must practice righteousness. The Catholic Church says you must practice sodomy. This is one of their teaching. This is their holiness of the Catholic Church that they call holiness. This, I'm saying it plainly. This is what was brought forth by the prophets against these people who took over the kingdom of Yahweh and slaughtered the Savior, crucified the Savior. They had power to do so at that time, and they crucified him because of what he was taught, what he taught. He taught the resurrection of the dead. He taught they said there is no resurrection because you don't die, they say. That is their teaching today. That's what Satan brought forth. That was the tree of righteousness and evil, the mixture. But the tree of righteousness says, no, you're going to die. And this is what the Savior said too. Yeshua said, this is the way you keep the laws. They condemned him for keeping Yahweh's laws in the perfect fashion. Now remember that, because Yahweh says, I am going to do it, me, Yisrael Hawkins, is going to bring forth a perfect Sabbath of rest to the people. That's a prophecy. That is a prophecy that I would do this. Now, notice verse 30. I can of my own self do nothing. This is all coming by Yahweh's power. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who has sent me. He spent his entire life, brethren, working for Yahweh, bringing forth 12 disciples to write what we're looking at here in book 2 today. And they did a perfect job, those that he called. If I alone, he says, testify in my behalf, my testimony is not valid. These people that want to get you to go and follow a church, get them to show you where they're prophesied of in the Holy Scripture. Show, because Yahweh will have no work. It's not of a Yahweh if they can't show you that it is prophesied in advance by Yahweh. If I alone testify in my behalf, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my behalf, and I know that his testimony, which he witnesses about me, is true. You sent to Yochanan, and he testified to the truth. However, I do not accept testimony from man, but I say these things so that you might be saved. For he was a burning and shining lamp. He's speaking of Yochanan, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. Rejoice, that's what we want you to do this feast. We want you to rejoice in this light that Yahweh is giving you at his house. Don't condemn it. Join in with it and rejoice in the work. Rejoice in the light that he is giving you at this feast, and this will be the greatest feast in 6,000 years. Verse 36, but I have testimony even greater than that of Yochanan. The works which the Father has given me to finish, the same works that I do, they testify on my behalf that the Father has sent me. Look at the works, brethren, that has been done here in Abilene right now by this small group right here. This that we're doing right now has all been prophesied in advance to be done. Even the reaching of the nations. Yes, the Gentile nations, as they call it. And the Father himself, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf. That's what Amosha said. Unless the Father has prophesied through his prophets, it's not the work of Yahweh. But he testifies on Yahshua's behalf, and Yahshua made no mistakes. He brought forth the Sabbath, he brought forth the laws perfectly, and then he says, he tells the disciples and the people hereafter what is going to take place after his death even, clear up to his second coming. And the Father himself, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf. You have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, nor do you have any word dwelling in you, or have his word dwelling in you, because whom he has sent, him you do not believe. Do you see that, what he's saying? He's saying, if you don't believe, you do not have Yahweh's word in you at all. Now, if you believe, you're going to be here with me. Yahweh has not said this or not held back his Holy Spirit from the one he sent to testify these things. If he did, he'd be tying the hands of the one he sent. Search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, and these are they which testify of me. Speaking of Yahshua, but it also says the same thing of this last day's work, his last day's witness. But you will not come to me that you might have life. Some want to come to me for an argument, but I don't even have time to take all the calls, let alone waste my time arguing. But I will bring it
that bring it weekly and as I can, as Yahweh makes it possible, and I will bring it throughout the feast. If you will just sit and be patient and listen, you'll get it all. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of Yahweh in you. I have come in my Father's name, that is by his authority, but you do not follow me. Let another come in his own name. Him you will follow. Him you will follow. But not me, who comes by the authority of Yahweh, he said. How can you believe when you accept honor from one another, but do not seek the honor that comes from Yahweh? Like I've often described this as a pack of wolves, you know. A pack of wolves, if you face one of them out in the woods, just one, he will run from you. But a pack, they draw strength from each other. So that they gang up, they seek the gangs. And one who disbelieves will find someone who disbelieves to try to boast his own insecurities. And of course, he's insecure in his own self. Otherwise, he wouldn't be seeking someone else for support who disbelieves also. Do not think, verse 45, do not think that I have come to accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moshe, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moshe, you would have believed me, because he wrote of me. Now remember the scripture. He says that there will be no other work except those that are prophesied by the prophets of old. So they wrote of the work of Yahweh. That's how Yahweh prophesies of his coming work, each one of them. But if you do not believe his writings, now some people will take a word or a phrase from Moshe's writings that have been twisted from the Hebrew to other languages. And if you read a commentary on some of these things, you'll see that the people who actually understand Hebrew to the fullest, spent their lives working at it because they believed in what they were doing, they will tell you that many mistakes have been made, honestly, in trying to get what is portrayed from the Hebrew over to another language. Now, this becomes a problem for the whole world. And Yahweh did it this way for a purpose. Because if Yahweh does not inspire the one he sent, and does not fill his mind with this spirit that Yeshua was talking about, if he spares giving him the spirit that he needs up here, he would be deceived very quickly. But knowing the plan and letting the spirit take over your whole life to where you can't wait. I think if I were dying, brethren, if I was dying, I would still be seeking something to read from Yahweh up to the very last minute of my death. I crave it. I crave it. It's a craving that won't go away. It's a joy in me to read, and I rejoice every time Yahweh shows me something else. I rejoice in it. Things that I didn't understand. And I see, well, here's what it is. And I rejoice, and sometimes I scream loud enough that I shake this ground up here. Okay. but that's what Yahweh has put in me, and I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you what Yahshua said about me and the prophet said about me is true 100%. Praise Yahweh. They testify of me. Now, if you go back up to verse 37 now, remember what he said about Moshe, believing Moshe. Go back up to 37. And the Father himself, who has sent me, testifies on my behalf. And then whom, last part of 38, whom he has sent, him you do not believe. And then in verse 39, and these are they which testify of me. Now go over to 6 and verse 29. Again, Yeshua answered and said to them, this is the work. They wanted to know, where's the work? So we can get in it.
He said, this is the work right here. Believe in me. Believe into me, and you'll be following me into this work. Be following me into the work. Verse 29, this is, Yahweh says, this is the only work, his only work, prophesied for these last days. Now, the many that left Moshe, many left Moshe. There was many that left the prophets, every one of them. In fact, they persecuted the prophets. Many left Yahshua. If you look to verse 67, 6, Yochanan 6, you'll see how he was talking here. It's as if all of them had left him. 6 and verse 67. Remember, these people came and heard him, heard him speaking. They believed the laws and the prophecies as is shown there in 663. They believed that, yes, hey, why aren't we following these? Why is the temple, why are the Pharisees not teaching these laws? Well, of course, the Pharisees deceived the people. They did, you know, they taught, they had a certain day that they taught the law of Moshe. And of course, if you remember, Yahshua said, when they teach the law of Moshe, then follow them. But don't practice what they're practicing, because they're not practicing what they preach. They're deceivers. It's hypocrisy. And that's the reason they condemned him for what he was teaching his disciples, because what he taught his disciples came straight from the prophets and without variation. It came straight from the prophets to Yahshua, and he taught the disciples, yes, this is what you're going to be doing. You're not going to be doing what was written in a lot of these places. But you're going to be doing exactly this way, and he showed it right down to the very end, what we would be doing, what they would be doing, and what we would be doing. Now, chapter 6, and notice verse 67. And Yahshua said to the 12, will you also leave me? If you look back to verse 66, he said, at that time, many of his disciples turned away and no longer walk with him. Why? Because they didn't believe. They thought they had the truth, but they didn't have the truth. There was some mix-up, some way or another. Some mix-up. And then in verse 67, he said, then Yahshua said to the 12, will you also leave? And Simon Kepha answered him, teacher, to whom would we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. If you look back now to Jeremiah, the prophets. Jeremiah. Now, Yahshua was prophesied to come. He was prophesied to teach. Then he was prophesied to give the prophecies concerning himself, what he is doing right now in guiding his house, and how everyone's going to be judged that don't follow his house. What they are supposed to do from now till the time of his coming. All of those details are given. I'm so anxious sometimes to speed forward and tell you things, but I know that if I do, there will be some objections and people will fall away. I told you the last time I spoke, I showed you some scriptures concerning Lot and his family. And I showed you how some things were mixed up. And all the commentators know this. You can see it in that chapter, how this is mixed up. It's not translated properly. Parts of it, the commentators say, are missing out of it. But I said, you know, this is one of the things that's taught about this, is how it could be this way. I'm not dogmatic in that. And I'm just showing you how, I was just showing how that this was mixed up, and they don't really know what they were saying, but they do know that the way the King James Version is written, which came from about 7 different manuscripts, and all of them was different, they know
that the example they gave here is wrong. I know it's wrong. It's shown in that very chapter how wrong it is. It's shown in that very chapter that this being had power to strike the whole bunch with blindness. There was no way they could have took over that man. There was no way that Lot would have, a righteous man like Lot was, would have ever sent his daughters out to be raped. You know, this is all hypocrisy, and the commentators know it. And I'm telling you one version that is put forth. I could tell you 25 different versions. There's at least 25 different versions that I know of as to how this took place and the parts that was missing that would have made it altogether different. But that's my studies on it. If I get it to where I can speak dogmatically on that subject, which is probably not going to be until Yeshua reveals it because of the missing links in it, it doesn't hold up the way it is. But until we get the missing links and know exactly what the prophet wrote there, there's no way I can tell you unless Yeshua himself chooses to reveal it to me. Well, back here in Yeremia now, 23. Yeremia 23. And notice verse 21. He says, I've not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I've not sent them. I've not spoken of them, notice. I've not spoken of them, yet they ran. We'll look back up to verse 15. Now, the ones sent are prophesied of. And if you follow, I saw what my brother, the mistakes he made in letting churches come in and teach in his house. Then he would try to correct them. And he asked me, well, correct this. Bring a sermon and correct it. You can't. Their minds are bloggle because they're not being called. They're not part of the house. They're not really part of the work. They're sent in by Satan, and they're always out there sending literature and trying to get somebody pulled out of the house. You know, this is Satan's way. She has many religions that's come off of this bunch that brought profaneness to all the earth. They pretend they're righteous, and of course you don't know what goes on in their private lives or in their the one thing you do know, they're not prophesied of in Yahweh's word. So they can't have the full truth. They don't understand the scriptures, and they will deceive you and pull you away if you let them because it looks good. And this is the very thing that the Catholic Church does. It puts forth on the surface, the good look, how spiritual they look, and looking up like this and down like this, but it has nothing to do with righteousness. It's just a show. And their fancy uniforms of gold and white and of course the scarlet red and so forth. All of this is made for show, as Yeshua said. We have no show. Here, we put forth our building, even the house of Yahweh speaks out as you're coming to it. Did you notice that? The poor have the message preached to them as well as the rich. We don't see very many rich, but but the poor are not denied as the rich churches do. And they say, oh, well, go over to Salvation Army. We'll help you there. Well, here, Yahweh said, I have not sent them, I have not spoken of them. Well, why are we following someone who is not spoken of when the Savior said they're going to be spoken of or they're not sent? And Yahweh says, I'll not have any work unless the prophet spoke of this work. Here's the Savior now saying, I have the authority from the prophets, straight from Yahweh, but you won't follow me, but let one come by his own authority and you run off after him. You see how stupid this is? Praise Yahweh. I see how stupid it is. Okay, here in Yeremia now, the 23 and verse 15, last part. From the prophets of Jerusalem, profaneness has gone out into all the land. From the prophets of Jerusalem.
Now, and if you remember Yochanan 3:34, let's go back there and read that again. Yochanan 3. Keep in mind what he says there in Yeremia, and go to Yochanan 3 and verse 34. 3:34. He says, "For he whom Yahweh has sent speaks the words of Yahweh. The laws and the prophets, Yahweh does not give his spirit sparingly to the one that he has sent." Now let's go to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, with that in mind, Isaiah 44, if you'll believe these, you won't be deceived. Isaiah 44 and verse 3. "For I will pour water upon him who is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon your seed," speaking of me and my brother, right here in these first three verses, and the verses before that in the previous chapter. Notice, if you will believe, he says, "I will pour out my spirit upon your seed and my blessing upon your offspring." My children from offspring and my children from preaching, both. I'm going to pour out my spirit upon them. If you go back to verse 1, he says, "Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I have chosen." He says, this is what Yahweh says, who made you and formed you from the womb. Who will help and who will help you? Do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant, and Yisroel, beloved Israel, whom I have appointed, whom I have sent, in other words, whom I have sent. I'm going to pour my spirit out upon you. Yeshua says, not sparingly, but he's going to pour his spirit out upon me. Verse 4, "They will spring up among the grass as willows by the water's courses, those who believe in the one sent. One will say, I belong to Yahweh," and he gives you signs of what they will do, how they get their name. "This is what Yahweh, the King of Israel, Redeemer, Yahweh of hosts, says, I am the first and the last, and except for me, there is no power." There is no power of life at all. If you don't believe in Yahweh, you're dead totally, period. If you do believe him, he will give you a place in his house, he said. Verse 7, "And who as I have foretold and will foretell and set it in order for me," set his house in order, who is it? "Since I appointed the ancient people and the things which are coming and will come, let them foretell them." Let them, these two men. "Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and have declared you are my witnesses?" You are my witnesses, and I will not spare my spirit from you, is what Yeshua said. Remember now, praise Yahweh. Now look on over to chapter 11, just a little bit more and we'll quit. Chapter 11 goes right along with this. This is what Yeshua, the same prophecies that was fulfilled and shown in Revelation concerning this last day's work. Verse 1, chapter 11, verse 1. "There will come forth a rod." Now, I'm not going to go through this in detail again. I have gone through it in detail, and I feel sorry for the people who missed these sermons, because Yahweh points out in detail his work. The one he sent for this time period, the one who has the high priest, Yeshua, the only high priest for this time period. The other was all dissolved. Remember, the Levitical priesthood was dissolved. Yeshua was the one prophesied to take the place. He was the Passover lamb. The Passover Lamb, that's what it says, who now sits at the right hand of Yahweh, guiding his house, his work in these last days. This is the work to believe in the one sent. Believe into the one sent. Now, there will come forth a rod, that is a twig, a vine, out of the stem, that is the stock of Yahshua. The King James Version says Jesse. And a branch, if you're familiar with Zechariah 4 and verse 12, you know, he said, what are these branches? What's these olive trees? And he's pointing out by the prophets this work in these last days of the ones that would foretell and set his house in order, bringing perfection to the world. We've got to get that in a sign, man. Perfection. Yes. Praise Yahweh. Now, don't mean you have to take it. You know, it's your choice. Still, everybody's choice, whether you take it or disbelieve it. And we'll grow out of the roots. Remember, we come from not only the prophets and also the apostles. Our foundation is the foundation of the prophets and the apostles, with Yahshua, the cornerstone that holds everything up. He's got it all in his hands. He's not sitting there wringing his hands and saying, "Oh, Father, man, did you see what that guy's doing down there now?" Somebody's saying, the Spirit of Yahweh, notice we're back on the Spirit now, not sparingly, the Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him. This is speaking of the branch now that brings perfection, the house of Yahweh, to the earth. That is me, brethren, and you right here in his house. Praise Yahweh. Not sparingly. He hasn't given this to me sparingly. The Spirit of Yahweh will rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the reverence of Yahweh. That's his prophecy of this work in these last days, which will make him of quick understanding in the reverence of Yahweh. He will not judge after the sight of his eyes, nor will reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the poor also, and reprove with equity for the meek, humble of the earth. He will smite the earth with the rod, that is a judgment of his mouth, correct them, and with the breath of his lips will he slay the wicked, that is judge the wicked. Righteousness will be the belt of his waist, and so forth. Remember now, let's go to verse 12, at least to verse 12. I hate to miss any of it. Verse 10. In that day there will come a rod out of Yahshua, that is Yahshua now, this is speaking of, who will stand as an ensign, that is a banner for the people. To it will the Gentiles seek. Yes, this is the work of Yahshua right now. And his rest will be glorious. If you read Hebrew 4 along with that, you'll see. Remember Luke 24, verse 25, we're fools if we don't believe the prophets. The prophets have declared all the work of Yahweh in these last days, and it's taking place right now before your eyes. It's up to you. It's up to you. You've got to believe into this work. You can't get in it otherwise. It's your choice. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to our next speaker. I love you, brothers and sisters. Yahweh bless you.